Morning. I know that all of us started somewhere else, but thank you very much. Department and everyone is here. Welcome to the meeting. We are going to start by adopting our reports while we're waiting for the documents. So be patient with us. Thank you. Can we deal with the agenda? The oversight report, Honourable Papi. The oversight report. Communications, ours, Transnet, remember? South African Express and Sentex and USASA. We never adopted because we didn't have a forum. I don't know whether you want to read through it. But they emailed it also for members to give. Can we do page by page quickly? Page 1, page 2.
Can you just give us about 5 or 10 minutes
quickly? Okay, sure, on your own. Yeah, okay.
Just indicate if you're ready.
I don't know what you call it, kids, right?
I left school in primary school.
Must not read that report, you must attend that report.
You must browse.
And do what you call it, kids, right?
You must train us.
Yes,
please.
Good.
Now it's the issue.
No es por así,
no por ahí, 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 no
por ahí, no
por ahí, no por
ahí, no
por ahí, no
let's continue.
Are you still busy? I assume that you're done with the report. Is there anyone who want to do corrections or want to raise the Honourable Pakis?
Chair, I want to suggest that I've scanned the report and the recommendations. I made my comments to the secretary of the committee.
Can I want you yes, so that it can be recorded.
Oh, okay. No, I was talking to the SOEs versus SOCs. And then everywhere where it's written committee, it must be a capital C. When I was in at primary, that's how I was taught. So C, committee for C. And then I want to raise one point that talks to the recommendation share.
Okay.
Remember when we visited CENTEC?
Yeah.
CENTEC is having a program that produces young fellows on engineering. But there's a lot of students who are being trained by Transnet and Centec, but there's a lack of integration between Centec and Transnet. Transnet produces more young fellows on a job, and Centec produces the same young fellows. But now, when they need such kind of skills, they have to go out and bring young fellows for training, whilst your Transnet has many young students who are or who remain unemployed. Now, I don't have a brilliant way of putting that suggestion as a recommendation, that there must be a coordinated effort between Centec and Transnet, so that these young people who have been trained on engineering, Centec can tap out of those, if I can call them graduates from Transnet. That's a suggestion that I want to front load to be part of recommendations. Yes, Chair.
Thank you, because I think the content will do the necessary work on framing the correct phrases. Thank you. Any other inputs, Honourable Julius?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think if we start with the transcript one on page 3, the overview of Francis is the overview of Francis business. They painted the picture of unity when we were there. And just after 2 days, right, the chairperson of the board, Sopo Molefe, came out guns blazing. So I feel that as a committee, you know, they didn't take us into their confidence, the board itself, and they actually misled us. They treated us as visitors, as a way to cover up, you know, don't let them see the bad side of it, and not as representatives of the stakeholder of government, as government, the stakeholder in Transnet. And I feel that, Chairperson, we need to, as a committee, try to wrap them over the knuckles for this. Because it's no use we're doing oversight. They say nothing, and in 2 days there are reports coming out of all these things happening at Transnet. And if we read the news from Sunday onwards, all sorts of things happening in Transnet. And as a committee, we know they're not taking us into their confidence. Chairperson, are we dealing with the whole report?
Yeah, you can refer me.
Yeah, if you look at page 4 also, the second paragraph from the top.
Excuse me. Yes? You want us to invite them to come and, or what do you want us to do? You want us to change? Whichever way the
committee will choose, Chairperson, just to make our dissatisfaction known.
I'm concerned it will highlight our concern in the report.
Okay. Yeah, they also said the intention was not to rush legal matters, but 2 days they rushed it. In 2 days they rushed it. And I feel very, you know, it's no use me going there. After they actually gave us a run around in the morning, we went to Carlton Center, and then we had to go back to Tswane, you know, and then they came back and just gave us an overall story, not going deep into the real problems at Transnet. I feel they didn't take us into their confidence enough, Chairperson. On page 8, There was something said about the letter to SABC to recover the cost because it's rightly put here in the report that Centec was mainly.
Can we give it to the phone? Is it ringing?
The what? The.
Please the new phone. I
that 200 million was owed by, to Centec by SABC, and they couldn't, SABC, they make the most money from SABC, and where they told us that they did not actually send the same letter that they sent to other creditors, like Eskom, because they had another deal, and I can't see it in the report. Because it, I think it's a critical issue that we need to highlight in the report, where they actually said, no, we didn't write a letter to you, there's a different arrangement or something. But they gave us, they promised to give us details of those arrangements with SABC that time. So can we just maybe highlight that also, that we are waiting for the report on the deal with, between SABC and Centec. Chairperson, I think that is...
We have the recommendation.
Then, Chairperson, on page 10, the last one, Honourable Parties. On page 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth paragraph from top, where USASA appointed 26 service providers from the manufacturing and supply of set-top boxes and related accessories. Now, last week, the Minister of Communications came out again and said that we cancel this.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
So, I don't know, in the report it might be correct, but I think as a committee, we need to actually take action on this to get clarity from USASA. What actually their plan, and what are they going to do about this? Did they actually know about this when we got there? Because it wasn't that long ago when we were there. And, you know, for them to now, you know, all of a sudden also change, it says something to me about a dysfunctional relationship in these companies of government or the state-owned entities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable
Pasi.
Chair. Honorable
That's what I wanted to ask. You want us to change, and that is a real reflection on what we would. I just want to understand, what do you want us to do? Write a letter to explain to us when they gave us this, when we visited them, they gave us this report. At the time, they know about the cancellation of this organization. Because we cannot change the report, because it is a real reflection of what happened. It is my difficulty.
In the beginning you said you must correct the report. I said I agree with what's in the report, but there are matters that actually needs action from the report. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, then we can end it. Honorable
Chair, I want to talk to page 5 on SA Express, the acting chief executive officer. I took exception of what had happened when we were there. When we met the management of SA Express, before the sunset or the sunrise, an announcement was made by the minister of a new board chair. That's very... I take exception of that as a member of this committee. I don't care whether he's a minister of the ANC or not. But there was supposed to be a consideration, just a courtesy, for him to inform the chairperson of the committee that, look, I'm aware that you are in Joburg, you are meeting the SA Express, and you are meeting the management of the port management, the senior authorities of that entity. But then I'm going to announce tomorrow, or I have appointed a new board chair. That's how we're supposed to be doing things. I want us to, well, I'm not sure it's a prudent thing to put it on the report, but it's something that had happened. I think we must put it on the report. Yes.
Because it happened,
yes. Yes. And we I have a serious concern about that. But moving beyond that, I want to propose, Chair, that part of the decision we take here as a committee, we need to call this minister, Reverend Gordon, to give us the update on SA Express and SAA and Mengo. Yes, because there are a lot of stories that we hear on the sidelines with regard to this. And in addition to that, we call the CEO of SAA, and he's willing to come down here. So that we are not misled as members of parliament. The CEO will be saying this when the minister will be saying this on the other side. Now, I suggest that we do that as part of the follow-up program in terms of our schedule.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I think we are going to put it in the report or concern, because we were so there when we announced in the report, like, if nothing is going to change, they're still busy. They even argue that there's no such thing as a merger.
Honourable
Julius? I think, like Honourable Park has mentioned now, it happens in almost all of those SOPs. We didn't get proper information and so forth. So I think we need a stronger stance. The minister and the department, all these SOEs, must actually be to visit this committee, you know, so that we can air our dissatisfaction with the way things go. And they must stop, at least consult the chairperson, so the chairperson can consult us, you know, so that we know what is going on in a committee that we are serving in. But when the department wants us to deal with bills, they are very fast to deal with bills, and we have to sit overtime and do all necessary to deal with bills, to pass the bill. But when it gets to us, also involved in decision making of SOEs, you know, consultation at least, they're not there. So we are just here. The department sees us as a rubber stamp for both. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Shafaku?
No, thank you, Chair. And then thanks for the input by Honourable Members. My proposal is that the report is the true reflections of the state of affairs as at the date dated here. Issues from the media and the announcement can be recorded on today's minutes and then take the matters forward. Thank you.
Thank you. So you propose the adoption in a second and in India. Okay, thank you. You want to?
I'm saying, Chair, with those amendments.
With those amendments, yeah. Thank you.
I don't want to appear as if I'm putting unnecessary pressure. I've got a meeting that I'm presiding on later before, yeah. So I'm a little bit unsettled.
Yeah, but it depends on the members how long the meeting will take. I don't have anything in mind. If you ask for us to speak, I must give you time. So it depends on us if we work together. Okay, we're done with this. The report is adopted. Can we just take the last minutes of the 10th of October for adoption? Now let's say you make a proposal and you must deal with it. Remember? Okay. So we are going to adopt for adoption. The 10th of October.
Honorable.
The mic doesn't work.
Oh, I'm
this one open.
Okay, I move for the adoption of that.
Okay. There's a mover. Honorable.
Shaker.
Can I have a second?
Yeah, I second.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we now go into our main agenda? Okay. I'm going
to give over immediately to the legal advisor to take us through the clause, reading out the clause. In all of us receive, Honorable Julie.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think before we go into it clause by clause, there's just an objection that I need to raise because I think we will not deal with it otherwise. I think it's the same thing that I raised over and over again, and I feel very strong, Chairperson, that it should be noted that the tagging of this bill is still problematic for me. We had the input from the legal advisors, but I'm not satisfied as a member of this committee. I'm still not satisfied. And I want to take members quickly through, and then state law advisors can actually come in and tell us or tell me, you know, where I see the problem. And I want to be convinced. I'm really open to convincing today. But Chairperson, according to the Constitution, Schedule 4 states that if a bill needs to be tagged, it can be it should be tagged 76 but in Schedule 4 there's an issue of consumer protection for me. Now, let's start with the definitions, for instance. If I look at the insertion of child pornography, number one, why do we deal with child pornography? It's to protect children, to protect the consumer at the end of the day. Chairperson, if you look at commercial online distributor, that speaks to protection of the consumer. If you look at terms in the definition like harmful, why do we put harmful in? Harmful has a protection narrative. If we look at hate speech, it wants to protect someone. Chairperson, if you look at, I'll go further. If you look at prohibited content, it speaks to protection. If you look at sexual conduct, it speaks to protection of someone. If you look at non-compliance, words that are in here, Chairperson.
Is it a concern or is it a point of order? Because there's a member on the floor. The way we are dealing with...
Can you switch off your... can I hear what Honorable Pakis is saying? Honorable Pakis, over to you. I know.
Okay. I never call a point of order to any board. That's not my style. I just want to intervene that Honorable Julius has raised his views in the previous sessions, and my understanding is that we have passed that stage. Now, it does not mean when I hold a divergent view on a particular matter or subject item, even if the stage or phase has passed, I must revert back to what I hold as a firm view, because we are... Chair, I'm on platform. Because we are members of the committee, I can hold a firm or strong view on a particular matter. But now, it depends on the committee to convince me or me convincing the committee. I think that's the point that I want to make, Chair, that he made his views clear, explicit in the previous sessions, and I'm not expecting him to do what he's doing now. It's just a humble intervention, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Psaki. I wanted to correct. I just want to give him a chance to put it, because I wanted to ask the legal people, if you as a person not satisfied and they couldn't convince you, what is the process that he must follow then as a member? Because I cannot say he must be satisfied because all of us are satisfied. He must have a way of dealing in writing letters to who, in my view. Can you please just explain to us before we go into to go further on that one? I know there must be a way. Thank you.
Chairperson, yes,
I don't want you, both of us are here to do an oversight work. We must hear each other out. And I'm giving you time. We are not here to make, but I think what Honourable Pakis is raising, that we dealt with it. The new agenda is the agenda for going through page by page. But in my view is how to handle it for, in, to go forward, to move forward, seeing that you are not convinced. They are going to give you the same explanation. What is the options then? That's what I want to hear, and then we can move forward.
Yes.
Thank you.
Chairperson, yes, I agree with your viewpoint. And I agree with Honourable Pakis that we had the opportunity previously to raise this concern of Tegi, right? But as a member of the committee, if you find new information, you know, you think you didn't put your case very clear that time, you always have the right to come back, because I am responsible for this as a member of the committee. I cannot just say, okay, let it go. We're representing people of South Africa, and I feel very, very strong about this point. And I'm trying to convince the committee, because in my view, the committee never took a decision on the tagging last time. You might not have a problem. That's another thing. That's totally another thing. But to convince each other on the tagging, that's what I'm trying to do, Chairperson, because I feel very strongly. This bill has everything to do with consumer protection, and it should go to provinces.
Thank you,
Chair. As per the Constitution, not my own view, as per the Constitution, I'm afraid, Chairperson, if we are going to let this slip, it's going to come back and bite us again. And I just want clarity and surety from the
legal.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Pakis.
Sir, I want to refute what Honourable Julius says. In our last session, the legal, our legal gurus here, who sits here, she went on town about explanation of the tagging and who has the authorities or political authority to take a decision on tagging of the bill. And we said, we affirm that the tagging of this bill is the correct bill. Maybe then, outside this meeting, Honourable Julius can write and stipulate his dissatisfaction to the authorities who take decision about the taking of the bill. That's my precise, narrow understanding.
Thank you.
We have a position as a committee on the taking of the bill.
Thank you, Honourable Papu.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just an honest appeal. Can we allow the process to unfold so that we can maybe get, after clarity, we'll be able to engage after that. Can we please just
okay,
make it?
Okay, thank you. Legal people, we are on the right
path. Thank you, Chairperson. The name is Pumela Lengema, parliamentary.
Can you give a hearing?
Parliamentary legal advisor. Chairperson, I am understanding that what I'm supposed to do right now is to go straight to the bill and conduct the clause-by-clause process. if that's the indication, Chairperson, with your permission.
I think you gave direction that
maybe
you can provide me with direction. What do I do after now at the stage?
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Julius. I think I know that you already explained. If you still your view, just explain to the members. Let Anna, you can follow the other revenue. Thank you.
It's not the first time that you're dealing with it. I think there was difficult times that you there was a case like that that you can refer to. Thank you.
I thank you, Chairperson. It is not a difficult exercise at all.
Okay.
Chairperson, like I said in the previous meetings, and the records will speak for itself, the joint tagging mechanism is the authority that decides on the JTM of on the tagging process of any bill. It is not a decision of the committee, but it is the decision of the joint tagging mechanism. And as I indicated as well, they can be influenced through writing legal opinions for as long as the bill is under process in Parliament. In line with all that has happened previously in respect of this bill specifically, I am under the understanding that all those processes have taken place and numerous organizations and people have attempted and have already actually written to the JTM, and they still hold the view that this bill we are dealing with today, the Feelings and Publications Amendment Bill, is actually tagged correctly in their view, in their opinion, and in their finding that it is a Section 75. Should anybody, any party, any individual not be satisfied, the next process is to take the process to court.
Thank you very much. I think we are clear on that one. Can we proceed with the bill now? It is Honorable Julius, you understand. I don't want to say it, but that's what I'm referring to. There is a process. Oh!
I don't have to go to court.
But
that's why I used the free one. Okay.
Thank
you very much. Can we proceed,
ma'am? Thank you, Chairperson. Today, before the committee, we are dealing with the Feelings and Publications Amendment Bill, B37B of 2015, which has been referred to the Select Committee so that they can look through it. It is tagged as a Section 75 bill. Chairperson, I will take the committee through clause by clause for purposes of adoption. And through your direction and permission, Chairperson, I suggest that we present the clause and then you request the members to either adopt it as is or make whatever. The first provision that we deal with, Chairperson, is the long title, which basically explains what this bill seeks to do. There were no changes that the bill that came before the Select Committee was made into that provision. I present that provision as is in the B version that came from the National Assembly and place it for adoption.
I move.
Can I explain what is going to happen? We are going to do clause by clause. The committee didn't put as normal the clause out, you know, summarize the clause on it. That's why we doing it in the bill. Yeah. But she was referring to the long title, and the long title is the first one on the bill. The bill is here. That is the long title.
Second page from the cover page.
Yeah.
Up. I need to.
It's a second page.
Thank you. My apologies for coming late. I got confused with the 1-2-1. Che, I'm feeling extremely hot. Is there aircon in here?
Yes,
No.
Because I am really...
No. On a point of question, we can't address individual needs here. Some of us are subjected to it on the ground, on the extreme side, of the extreme category of the resources. So we can't come here. This man from the Pope, is also...
I listen to you and I'm going to respond that here is a...
No, but we can't be dealing with...
But it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. I remember yesterday the chairperson raised it in the NCOP that they're currently busy doing some maintenance work on the aircon, so I apologize for that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. The next clause, Chairperson, we are now starting with clause by clause, and that is clause 1. Clause 1 is dealing with the definitions. And the definitions that appear on the bill are definitions that when it is matched with the principal act, these are the definitions that will go in. The clause 1 provision does not seek to amend all of the definitions that appear in the bill. I mean, that appear in the principal act. But it only speaks to the ones that are spoken to in this bill, Chairperson. So the Chairperson, in terms of the deliberation of the committee and the instructions of the committee with regards to clause 1, the committee did not make a decision where any of the definitions should be changed. So the definitions that appear in clause 1 as they came with the bill referred from the National Assembly, they stay the same. And those are the definitions that we are placing for adoption without any amendment as they are in respect of clause 1. So we put clause 1 for adoption.
Well, Chairperson, when did we ever get an opportunity to go clause by clause? Where did you see that? When we do clause by clause, we deliberate clause by clause, and then we can. They can't tell us that because we didn't make prior submissions, we were not allowed to deliberate on the clause. Sorry, I'm not going to be part of this. If that happens, then I can leave. Honestly. How can we adopt? I'm not a rubber stamp. I never had an opportunity to do that.
Chairperson, it's good to listen attentively, not selectively. The legal officer here, she didn't say the committee or nobody has made prior submissions. She said in the previous session of the committee did not make any submission or input or changes
on
listening is a good thing and progress.
I think exception to honorable party.
No, but
sorry.
It's okay.
I take serious exception to that. If he wants to rush the bill because he has to go and chair another meeting, I'm not going to do that. We are going clause by clause and we deliberate on each and every one that we normally do it. Why don't we do it today? I mean, I have a serious problem in terms of definitions, harmful, hate speech and all that. I made my submissions, I did my homework. If he didn't do his homework, then he must leave the committee and leave it to us that did our homework.
I think, let me explain. The problem here, Honorable Julius, I do understand you. But we dealt with it. I think you was not in the meeting. Labuschagne was in the meeting when we did clause by clause and deliberate on this clause. But if you have a concern, because I can remember Labuschagne put something in a clause that she wanted to direct. We had that exercise. So I don't know if you know, because we passed that exercise. Okay, then can we proceed?
Can we proceed then? No, I want to ascertain if the committee was awarded the opportunity to deal with this.
Yes. Everything is here. We dealt with it. Unfortunately, Honorable Julius was not in that meeting. You was in the meeting. You also know. But Labaskagni was here, and I can recall that day when we dealt with it, Labaskagni did some changes in children meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 1 placed before the committee for adoption without any amendment.
Okay, we can proceed. Here is the we just adopt the report where we can we proceed, ma'am?
Chairperson, like I said, I've placed clause 1 for adoption.
Yeah. Can I put clause 1 for adoption? Are you in favor? Honorable member?
Yes.
Can you go? All in favor?
No.
I'm not in favor. Okay. Can we proceed?
Yeah, we can proceed.
We can proceed.
Clause 1 adopted. Chairperson, we move to clause 2. Clause 2. It seeks to amend the title of Chapter 2. And the only changes that it's bringing about, Chairperson, as you go through the bill, you'd understand that there is a new structure, the Enforcement Committee, which is being added and is going to be established by this bill. So that was the insertion that was coming in there. Hence, Chapter 2 is changing to include the involvement of Enforcement Committee. And that's all what Clause 2 does, is to change the title under Chapter 2. I place it before the committee for adoption.
Yes.
I move for the.
Is it on page 5, ne?
Yeah.
Honorable members, it's on page 5, clause 2. Now, they want to put.
No.
Okay.
I'm moving for adoption.
Are you moving for adoption? Thank you very much.
I'm not confused.
Okay,
yes.
Sure.
I'm still following.
Okay, thank you very much. There's a mover. Are we all in agreement? Thank you. Then clause 3.
Moving to clause 3.
Clause 3 on page 5, Chairperson. It seeks to amend the objects of the Principal Act. And in this instance, it only amends what relates to what this bill seeks to do, which basically is to criminalize the possession, production, and distribution of child pornography. It also creates offenses for non-compliance with this act. So in line with what already appears in Section 2 of the Principal Act, this is what Section 2 under Clause 3 will then be changed to look like the edition that I've just read through. So, Chairperson, I place the proposed amendment to Section 2 of the Principal Act on the objects of the Act.
Thank you very much.
Can I move, Chair.
Thank you. All in favor?
Thank you.
No. It was always Honorable
Connie. Honorable Connie, we now that you are working in your team. Through you, Chair. Can't we shorten it for Connie? Honorable Connie?
Yes.
Maybe if we shorten it and say she doesn't agree with any amendment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's taking note that she's not agreeing on anything. Anything. So you can move the amendment. Thank you very much. And maybe we can shorten it to the ANC at least to everything.
No, we must go through it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Why are you shaking my mind?
Can we proceed, ma'am? Who?
So, of course, Chairperson seeks to amend Section 3 of the Principal Act, and that is the special section which seeks to jurisdiction that will follow about the enforcement committee. Mm-hmm. It adds that the enforcement committee will be established in line with Section 3, like all the structures that are statutory forms out of the state cycle. So, Chairperson, I place
Section
4 before the committee for adoption.
Thank you. Adopt a mover. Honourable Pakis, and second by Honourable Safarapu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 5 is the one that seeks to amend Section 4A of the Principal Act, and that section is about the powers and functions of the Council. What is being expanded here in respect of the powers of the Council is to deal with the accreditation and appointment of the Enforcement Committee. So that will be the powers that expand the powers of the Council, and that is what is added in this provision. I place for adoption Clause 5, which amends Section 4 of the Principal Act, Section 4A of the Principal Act.
Can I have a mover?
I move for adoption.
Honourable Safarapu and Honourable Singh, second. Thank you.
Clause 6, Chairperson, is the one that inserts all the necessary provisions in respect of the Enforcement Committee. Just like I've said, that the adopted clause above, which was establishing this section, is now moving into the nitty-gritties about this committee. And Clause 6, I will just read the titles of each one, Chairperson, because it inserts a number of provisions within Clause 6, which will then be the new provisions that will appear in the Principal Act. The first one is it will be Section 6A that will appear in the Principal Act, and it speaks to how the composition of the Enforcement Committee would be done. And that is the crucial one, Chairperson 6A, because that is the one which this committee has made proposals that are speaking already on the report that has already been adopted. Because last week we dealt with the proposed amendments and the committee went through them, deliberating and adopted them. Now that speaks to the report that we've already adopted, the committee has taken through. Now, the only changes that we've brought about that the committee instructed we do in respect of the deliberations for this clause was, it was more of a cleanup, because we've listed a number of experiences that were required and the number of persons that would be made as part of this committee and what the process would be. So in light thereof, and in light of the deliberations by the committee, it was requested that we make it clear that the chairperson of this committee would be one of those as appeared, but it should be the retired judge. And that is the change that this committee has made. In fact, it doesn't change so much what the bill was saying, but it clarifies it better. So the retired judge would have been part of this committee and appointed in line with the processes as outlined, but this provision now will add the provision that says the person who is a retired judge, once appointed, automatically takes the default position of the chairperson of this enforcement committee. Then the other ones, it was just to make sure that the experience, since we pushed it high to say the people that form part of this committee must at least have experience above 10 years, and the committee was worried about that, to say we're not looking into the employment issues and the youth problems and all that. Hence, in correcting that concern, we've taken out the issue about the experience. Hence, in terms of the adopted report, Clause 3 takes out that explanation which was speaking too much on the experience and make it more clearer. All that we need are the qualifications as outlined in sub 4, and that is what Clause 6A does. Clause 6B sets out the powers and the duties that this enforcement committee will be performing. And Clause 6C, it speaks to how these members, once appointed, they should be removed if they are not doing what is expected of them. And those three provisions, 6A, 6B, and 6C, are inserted by Clause 6. I therefore place those provisions for adoption before the committee under Clause 6, which will insert the new sections 6A, 6B, 6C in the Principal Act if the committee so adopts.
Thank you. Can I have a mover? Honourable Parkins?
in Honorable Singh, second. Thank you.
We then move to Clause 7, Chairperson, which speaks to the disqualifications as outlined in Section 7 of the Principal Act. The disqualification for purposes of this bill, it is only in respect of the Enforcement Committee because this is the only new structure. Hence, Chairperson, what we are doing in respect of that section is to make sure that the Enforcement Committee, should there be any need for the members to be disqualified, the Act does speak to that process as well. And that is all that Clause 7 seeks to do. I place the adoption of Clause 7 before the committee.
Honorable Safaku.
Move for adoption.
Thank you. Can I have a second? Honorable Singh.
We are now on page 8 of the B bill. It is clause 8, Chairperson, which is the clause about the term, the period that all these structures can be appointed into the into their structures. Specifically, what this bill seeks to deal with was the term for the Enforcement Committee, and it will be the same as all of the other structures, and it is left to stand at 5 years. And that is the only thing that Clause 8 seeks to amend in terms of the Principal Act. I place it before the committee for adoption.
Thank you very much. Can I have someone who, to move? A mover for Clause 8? Honorable Singh? Malambu, second. Thank you.
Chairperson, Clause 9. It speaks to the amendment of Section 9A. And Section 9A in the Principal Act, it is about the composition, functions, and management of the board. So this here extends and adds the functions to the Films and Publications Board, which were not spoken of, which relates to accreditation in respect of the commercial online distributors. And that's where this provision comes in, Chairperson, to give them that power to make accreditation for the commercial online distributors. I place it before the committee, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Can I have a mover? 4969. Clause 9. Honorable Singh Wu, Safaku, second. Thank you.
Let me just check something.
This bill will give power also to monitor and remove anything sinister on online, isn't it? Because I remember we had a long discussion on this particular clause as a committee. Thank you.
But let's take note that this is the second order.
Thank you very much. Can we move to the next section?
Thank you. Ma'am. Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 10 of the bill, it seeks to amend Section 11. And Section 11, it speaks to the administrative support of the other structures that were already formed by this Act. But in this instance, it wants to speak to the support as well that will be necessary for the Enforcement Committee. So that is all this provision does, that the support that they need in order to perform their functions, it will be provided for by the staff of the board.
Thank you. You put before us. Can we have a mover? Honorable Pakis, second. Honorable Lam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Moving on to page 9, which is clause 11 that speaks about the remuneration in respect of the new structure, the Enforcement Committee. What that provision seeks to do is to add the Enforcement Committee on the clause, which was Section 12 of the Principal Act, to say that the members appointed to the Enforcement Committee will be remunerated in line with the determination by the Minister, who will do it in consultation with the Minister of Finance in order to ensure consistency in terms of how that is done through government. I place it for adoption, Chairperson, that the enforcement committee would be remunerated as appears on page 9, clause 11.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Safaku.
I move for adoption.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
People are being forced to move as they can.
Honorable Singh, thank you. Proceed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. We move to clause 12, which seeks to make an amendment to section 13, and section 13 is the expenditure of the structures that are established in terms of this act. In this instance, Chairperson, it was also deliberated, and this is the other second proposal that came from the committee, which was to indicate that the expenditure that arises out of the work done for purposes of this act, their funds and finances must be recycled back to this to the purposes of the act, and that is the amendment that appears in respect of clause 12. That is already in the adopted report that has been spoken to and adopted. I place clause 12 before the committee to indicate how the expenses of these structures will be utilized back into the system. Before the committee, clause 12, with the changes or the amendments as proposed in the report, I place before the committee.
Thank you very much. Clause 12, can I have someone who can move? Honorable Pakis. Can I have someone who propose? I second the proposal. Honorable Singh, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We move to clause 13. Clause 13, which seeks to amend section 14 of the Principal Act, is about the annual report. In the Principal Act, the annual reports were expected from all these structures, but having been prepared by the council as to what activities each of these structures had performed for the pending year or the financial year that is being discussed. So what clause 13 seeks to do here is to ensure that the same is done for the activities of the enforcement committee, and so the council will have to report on their activities as well. So clause 13 provides that amendment, and the process is how the annual reporting should be done and to whom. I place for adoption clause 13, Chairperson.
Clause 13, can I have a mover, please? Anyone want to move? Honorable
Mulambo.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm more for the adoption.
Okay. Can I have someone who second?
Thank you. Chairperson, I move to clause 14, which is section 15A about the functions and compliance of the functions of compliance officers, Chairperson. In terms of what clause 14 seeks to do is to clarify and extend the functions of these officers, and this will be in regard to how they obtain consent and all those that appear as the new additions from page 9 up until page 10. Chairperson, it's quite a list. That is why I say clause 14 seeks to extend and expand the functions and clarify how the compliance officers should be conducting those functions. I place it before the committee for adoption.
Thank you very much. Before.
15A,
is it? Yeah.
I want to see
that is
the
point.
The bolder part.
Can I be on? Sir, you can proceed.
Look, I don't agree, Chair, with the bolded sentence that says enter any premises with the consent of the person in charge of such premises or business. The consent part of it, I think there's a problem with that. Because here we are talking about functions and powers of compliance officers. If I'm doing something wrong or I've deviated from the law, undermining it deliberately or subconscious or conscious, I will not allow you as a enforcement compliance officer to come into my place because I know that I've faltered. Now, the consent part of it, I have a problem with it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 45. Okay. Chairperson, the bolded part in terms of the drafting standard, it's what comes out. So because it's bolded and dark, it's what we are removing from the principal act, and what is underlined is what is coming in.
Replacing it. Can I?
Then if someone will move, the Papis move. Mr. Safaku?
Second.
You second, thank you.
Clause 16, chapter 10 is the crucial one because it's the one where the judgment arises, in line with the constitutionality issues that the Constitutional Court had to speak to on this issue. What we seek to do now is to ensure that classification becomes a self-classification and it is not imposed. That's clause 15, which speaks to section 16 of the Principal Act. Section 16. At section 16 on the Principal Act, where the judgment arose, that brought us to where we are today. So what the section seeks to do in terms of all that requires to be classified for purposes of this act, it seeks to ensure that the process is now constitutional and is aligned with what the court judgment has indicated, and that is what we were attempting to do and what the committee, through its deliberations and all the inputs throughout the processes of Parliament, was making sure that it complies constitutionally in every sense that is possible, it can be done. So, Chairperson, from the amendments of the Select Committee, there were no changes that needs to take place in this instance in respect of Clause 15. I therefore place it before the committee as is without any amendments.
Clause is before you, Honourable Smith.
Chair, I'm just concerned that we might open up, for more explicit pornographic material through some of these amendments that's in here. And I just want the legal advisor to clarify, in terms of that, because in terms of law, sometimes you've got intent and then you've got an unintended consequence, and I'm concerned about that because there's a few things that give that direction, and obviously a normal, I almost want to say normal-minded person, don't think in that way, but the people that's gonna going to try and utilize this to do other things.
Yeah.
So if
you
we can...
The gap
they will capitalize on the gap. So I'm concerned about that, and this is one of the big things that I'm worried about.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable Legal Advisor.
Thank you, Chairperson. It feels good to be called Honourable. Chairperson, if we look at Clause 15, the first provision that is being amended there, from what appears on the Principal Act and what was of issue before the Constitutional Court judgment, Clause 1, Subsection 1 will now read, any person may request in the prescribed manner that a publication other than a publication that is published by a member of the Press Council of South Africa, because that is dealt with by the ACASA purposes, or an advertisement that falls under the jurisdiction of the Advertising Standards Authority of South Africa, which is being distributed in the Republic, be classified in terms of this section. Now, the first thing is to say we are now speaking to self-classification, not imposed regulatory classification. The person will make a request so that you are protected. So when you start to air or publish whatever it is that you want to publish, you know that you are within the confines of the law. But it will be done as per your own motives and movement and request. It is not imposed on you, and that is what the amendment seeks to do, to ensure that whatever the Constitutional Court had said and the bulldozing in terms of how we regulate things and impose things on people, that classification is no longer regulatory imposed, but you will make a request to take your document to the structures that are already established in this instance. Then if just to bring more understanding, if, for an example, in terms of what is said in respect of child pornography, if we go to page 11 of the bill, which is an H, I'm just taking an example to bring clarity, sub H there, which says, by the substitution in subsection 4A for subparagraph 2 of the following subparagraph, what then the change once adopted would read like in terms of 4A, because what 4A was saying in the principal act, it first says, the classification committee shall in the prescribed manner examine a publication referred to it, which is referred to it as a request by the individual who owns the publication that they need or seek classification for. That publication, it shall be referred to the classification committee, and this is what the classification committee will then do. These seek to bring more clarity for both those who must comply with the law and those that who must enforce the law. And therefore, for example, in terms of that one which I've just referred the committee to, it will then read as follows. Subsection 4A sub 2 of the Act, once the President has assented and proclaimed it, it will say, the classification committee shall, in the prescribed manner, examine a publication referred to it and shall be classify the publication as a refused classification if the publication, Roman figure 2, contains the advocacy of hatred based on any identifiable group characteristics and that constitutes incitement to cause harm, unless judged within the context the publication is a bona fide documentary or is a publication of scientific, literary or artistic merit or is on a matter of public interest, in which event the publication shall be classified with reference to the guidelines relating to the protection of children from exposure to disturbing, harmful, or age-inappropriate material. This speaks to what will be classified before it even goes out to the impact or the issue that was raised to say we are dealing with consumer protection. It is even before it gets to the market. We are not there yet. This is not the stage where the functions that this bill seeks to address are speaking to that stage of the end user who needs to be protected as a consumer. I'm not trying to go back to the tagging issue, but I'm trying to just explain that an extensive work has been done here, and we've tried to explain where this fits in and how it works in order to explain the whole chain from the start tagging up to the end point where we are today, that this is what at the end of the day has been the vacuum, and this is what has been found unconstitutional, and this is what the legislature today is attempting to correct, and that's where we are at, Jefferson. I hope it makes sense and answers the question.
Thank you very much. Does it make sense to you? Yeah, do you understand?
Yeah, it does, Chair, but if we look at let me just get this between 40 and 45. That says, okay, incest or rape, or conduct or an act which is degrading of human beings. Does that replace that first section? Is it excluded? Okay.
But that's what I'm worried about. That's exactly what I'm worried about.
And I give over to the legal person.
Oh, my apology.
I think it no longer wants me to talk. My colleagues can come in, Chairperson, but I think just to bring clarity that is necessary in this instance, we must not lose sight of what we've done before, the definition.
Yeah.
The definitions define what is sexual conduct that will fall into this ambit, and that must be read in the context of what we've defined. So, and we need to bear in mind that the definition, when you look into what is in the context of the bill, that definitions must first be your foundation and where you start off, so that you can easily understand what we are saying, because that's the whole purpose of the definition. Secondly, what appears in bold and black and put in the bracket commas, it comes out.
That's what I'm worried about, that this section is getting out. Okay. That's what exactly why I'm worried. I mean, conduct or an act which is degrading of human beings. I mean, that's being removed.
Chairperson, with the explanation that I've given of the definition and what we are doing and what comes in and what stays, let's go. I think the honourable members spoke to Roman figure 2, or is it,
yes,
Roman figure 1?
No, Roman figure
2.
Yeah.
Now, in order to be clear what we are saying, we are adopting and we'll move forward. It says the publication that will fall under XS, that will be classified upon your request as the owner of the product, if it contains bestiality, incest, or rape. Now, what appears in brackets and is highlighted bolder, it amounts or it becomes tautology of what the other words are already saying, as it says, or conduct or an act which is degrading of human beings. Bestiality is already a degrading conduct. Rape is already a degrading conduct. Now, if we mention those words again, it's tautology. It repeats what we've already said. Maybe they wanted to make the repetition in order to ensure that the point goes through. But what we are saying basically is that the tautology is unnecessary because the words are already speaking what we seek to achieve by adding the other words.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I understand it that way. But now what it does, it restricts it to those three scenarios only. You understand what I'm saying? So it opens up other possibilities. So now you're restricted to those three.
Okay. Thank you.
Remember, we are legislators. Now, if we believe, comrades,
you wish.
I don't want to, is correct. I think we can add that, Chair, because it's us who are legislators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can ask questions for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he believes strongly that we need to leave this as it is, let's do that, so that we just tie it or tightens that clause. Yes, I think that will be my submission.
Can I
despite the fact that the tautology, whatever, let's remain with that tautology. It's fine.
Can we allow the legal people, or are you listening what the members is saying, and you will, or is there other explanation? I want to understand, because these legal terms sometimes it's confusing. Thank you.
So in other words, the committee takes a stance that in respect of Roman figure 2 on page 11, we leave what already appears on the principal act.
Honourable Smith, do you have an...
My apology. Chair, I use that as an example, but if you look at Roman figure 1, there's the same thing that's been left out. So it's both 1 and 2.
Sorry, legal people, can you discuss and bring us on board? Because we don't want to approve something and we are going to sit with a... Explain to us all... Yeah, thank you.
Allow them to discuss. We are busy with a serious matter.
We
are late. Now, but we must come back and say,
no,
oh, we need
to
tomorrow. We are not here.
Just move, yes.
You agree?
What are bad? Hey, yeah, they're very good.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson.
This one. I need someone to operate
it. To operate it for you. Yes. Chairperson, in addition to us having said the definitions, we're actually trying to correct the consequential issues we've picked up, which is, amongst others, is tautology and unnecessary wording. However, Chairperson, with the direction of the committee, and because, as members have pointed out, this is not a rubber stamp exercise. It is still part of the processes of the committee where they are seriously considering issues before them and giving direction and making a decision. As directed by the committee, if that's the decision of the committee, what is being addressed now, we can actually do and revert to what the principal act already states. The only issue arises procedurally, because what it means, remember, this is the version that came from the National Assembly,
yes.
And we are now saying we do not agree with what appears on the B version. And of all the other things that the committee had wanted changed, we've done this, the term is the C list, but in this instance, because it's a 75 bill, it becomes just the report of the committee, which will go to the National Council of Provinces for the members to pass it as a house. Now, what it means for this as well is that this change needs to go back to the same process and be prepared in line with this and forms part of this report that the committee will have to do. But it's not so much of an issue because, as we have indicated, the definition and what appears in the content is clear enough to achieve the concerns that have been raised. But if that's what the committee wants, we can leave it as is.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Apology, this is quite an intense section within the bill, and that's why I'm spending some time on that. If we look at subsection 4, explicit infliction of, which leaves out now sexual or domestic violence. And I mean, there is a difference there as well. Because you can find domestic violence, but sexual violence is you understand what I'm saying? So that's another section that I'm also worried about.
Okay.
Sorry. My apology.
But that one, Chaplain, like we've said, when we do the drafting, we also need to do the cleanup where we pick up something that is grammatically and otherwise incorrect. And as we would say, as we would see, things are changing. The drafting conventions, the things that we done before democracy, this is the 1996 Act. Now, Chaplain, what I've said is that we've already defined sexual conduct, and it is very broad. Now, we've taken out sexual on the basis that sexual conduct already speaks, and there are other definitions, like the definition that speaks to what is prohibited content. Because if you would recall, we are speaking to clarify for the society at large what you should not be doing and what you can do, so that the law and the end has clarity that it requires for those that must comply. Now, under prohibited content, it seeks to go as broader as one possibly can find ways to express. And that is why we are saying what we've done here, it was not so much to say we are limiting the scope of what is wrong and what can be done, but it is more to clarify it in better ways. And the definition, that is the starting point. They define how far you can go and the context within which this portfolio is trying to deal with, specifically for purposes of classification. It doesn't say when anything happens, like when, it does not say, we are saying if according to common law, bestiality is a crime. That does not say we are today saying it's no longer a crime. It says for purposes of a document or publication or whatever, you want to have it publicly exposed. Because the state has a duty to protect all of its citizens. What would be wrong for you to expose to the public without making sure that such content is covered or is exposed? And that's where this whole ambit is restricted. On the classification, it does not change what the common law and the criminal justice system already puts out as crime. It does not. It's solely restricted for what it is that the purpose of this portfolio is doing. But we need the direction of the committee, Chairperson. Like I said, if we are doing the changes here, we need to go back and redo the work and put it in the words that conventionally when we draft, it's how we say it, so that if we say we remove what is here, because remember, this is now a B version, which means it changes from the version that came from the executive. And it will also change from the executive that is now going to be before the NCOP. So if we must do corrections in this instance, like I said, there is nothing legally speaking wrong with it. The committee needs to direct us, and procedurally we'll have to do it right.
Thank you very much, Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I understand that it's being defined in the definition, but now then I would like to ask, where within this Act is the protection against sexual violence? Because if you say you take that out to message, then please show me where is the protection against sexual violence, because you are removing that element out of it.
Can you proceed? The honourable member, I shall mean that it was being raised, but you were not here. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong for you to raise it,
yeah.
And then explain it again.
Yeah.
Because, like I was saying, Honourable Kathy, even with other things, she agreed and she understood.
Okay.
But just for the understanding, yeah, of you, you are satisfied with whatever.
Because I'm speaking also out of my provincial name.
Yeah, thank you. On the question that the Honourable Member asked, Chairperson, like I said, this provision seeks to guide the classifying committee. There is, for an example, right now we were under the classification that would be XX. There is another classification that would be X18. All these things that it does is to guide those functionaries that must perform this task. So that if they see anything under, for an example, under C, classify the publication as X18 if it contains explicit sexual conduct unless judge blah 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 as it appears, bearing in mind the definition of sexual conduct. So whether the sexual conduct is sexual violence, at the end of the day it will be sexual. Whether it amounts to violence or it amounts to whatever it does for you, whoever the end viewer, it is covered. It is just the classification so that it is clear that with all the contentions that have arisen in the space to say, but for an example, the Inxeba judgment, it was said they classified it incorrectly. Because when I look at it and what I see and what happened, it should have been either X18 or XX or whatever. It is just to guide the classification. But we are not saying that now sexual violence will be streamed online without any curtailment. All that we are saying is that each classification must be clear to ensure that whatever falls and is clustered in that category is what belongs there. Because with each classification, you move higher with the penalty if you have done something in regards to whatever appears there. But we are not feeling that we've possibly left out anything or taken out what was already covered before. But like I said, we are at the direction of the committee.
I know that Katie raised also that and then
I must be really honest, I still don't feel comfortable with it as is. As I said, I'm thinking beyond what a normal person would think, and that's what I'm, if you open it up, I mean, then you allow even the classification process to open that up. So I'm just worried about that. I'm really worried about that.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Newman.
Can we move? So what are you saying?
That these are included, these ones that I mentioned. That those
these three subclause Roman figure 1, 2, and 4.
Not three.
1, 2, and 4.
You can proceed, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to refer the member to Roman letter 1 and compare it to Roman letter 4, underline 47. Roman letter 1 states that B, classify the publication as XX if it contains explicit sexual conduct accompanied by explicit violence. And then you look at 4, explicit infliction of domestic violence. It seems to me the issue of sexual is also covered under Roman letter 1. That is going to be explicit sexual conduct accompanied by explicit violence, which means now to be domestic violence, it can be domestic violence accompanied by sexual conduct as well. Mm. I'd like the committee to consider that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, okay, I'm covered by that. That's what I wanted. I needed to make sure that is covered, Daphne. Okay. But Roman figure 1 and 2, I feel should be included.
Thank you.
Can we proceed? Ma'am? Move. Can I have a mover? Honorable Julius?
This young man, nowadays. Chairperson, yes, just before we move, let me apologize for what happened earlier.
Thank you.
Yes, I think I have the right to walk out sometimes, but I just took a breather, Chairperson.
Take a smoke break.
Yes, that too. I just want to know, as we deliberating on it now, where is the process where we regarded the opinions when we did public participation? Because in my opinion, we have to go back to that. Even the ones that we didn't deliberate on first, we have to go back and say, right? Can I finish, Jeff?
I can see where you want to go with
this.
Yeah.
Please don't preempt what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying the procedure, Chapter.
Yeah.
The procedure is that we had public participations. We had a lot of stakeholders giving their inputs. And as a committee, we have to look at those ones. Even if we don't look at all.
Really?
But what I'm saying is, yes.
Can I address you on this? Before you go, you know, you must go actually to the things. You very good. You know, I wanted you to be in the committee, but sometimes you and Honorable Pakis is staying 5 minutes, then you have to attend another committee. In that time, we did all the work, the same thing. Then you want to take us back because we went through that process. It's very unfair.
Can I just finish, Chairperson? I don't think you are right, maybe.
Yes,
the Honorable Pakis goes in and out. I don't know about me. He can protect himself. But Chairperson, the fact is, what I'm asking you is that when we deliberate, do we take into consideration what the public and the stakeholders told us? Now I'm taking you back, sorry for taking you back, you preempted it, but I feel it's necessary, Chairman. That in clause one, for instance, there were submissions made by the public. And as a committee, we cannot say, no, that time we deliberated on that, there were no submissions. We have to consider the public submission as a committee. No, we listened to each person, but when we did clause by clause in one, the definition, we didn't. And there was certainly input on the definition.
Yeah, thank you. We did. Can I have you, Honorable
Member? Can you move? Can you second? No, I will move
because I'm on record. Okay. You move?
Second.
That's worth the amendments, yeah.
He just ran into the bathroom. With the amendment, can we put it on record? Honorable Pakis, who was proposing, can you do it proper, please?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I move with amendments.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Second, Chair.
Can we wait Can you take
that through, sir? Thank you, Chair. I can continue until she comes back. Yeah. Chair, the next clause is clause 16. Clause 16 is just amending the heading for Section 16 of the Principal Act, classification of films, games, self-classification, accreditation, complaints, and prohibited content. This is going to reflect the contents of the chapter, Chair. Therefore, this is just the amendment for the heading. So I put it to the committee to adopt Clause 16.
Can I have a mover? It is for the committee, before the committee. Honorable Pakis, can you put on record?
I move, Chair.
I second, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can we proceed, please? Can you proceed, sir?
The next clause, Chair, is clause 17. Amending Section 18 of the Principal Act and Clause 18 on section 18 of the Principal Act, Chair, is talking about classification of films and games. And as XX, Chair, this is similar to the previous clause, Chair, that seeks to give the relevant authorities the guidelines to classify films or games, Chair. As XX, Chair, I put it across to the committee to adopt clause 17.
Thank you very much. Can I have a mover? Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Chair. As just explained, subsection B, Roman figure 1 and 2, it's exactly the same in terms of the inclusion of the sections that was to be removed. If we can just include that.
Thank you. It's the same as the previous. We want them to stay like it was. Can we then have a mover and a seconder with the amendments? Honorable Singh?
Please put it on the record.
I don't know who's going to do what now, who's going to take over. Yeah, okay, sure. Can you continue, please? Thank you, sir.
Chair, the next clause is clause 18, that is repealing sections 18A and 18B of the Principal Act, which contain a display of classification of decisions and also reclassifications. Chair, I will put across the clause for adoption by the committee.
Honorable Pakis.
I move, Chair.
Thank you. Can I have someone who second?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we move on to section 19?
Chair, the next one is clause 19, which is inserting in the Principal Act various sections, Chair. It is inserting section 18C about self-classification and also section 18D about the approval of accredited foreign or international classification systems by the Council and also section 18E, complaints against prohibited content, section 18F, prohibition against distribution of private sexual photographs and films, section 18G, prohibition against filming and distribution of films and photographs depicting sexual violence and violence against children, and also section 18H, prohibition against propaganda for war, section 18I, display of classification decisions, and section 18J about reclassification. I put clause 19, Chair, for the committee for adoption.
Can I have a mover? Honorable Smith?
Chair, the section that refers, that's inserted, that refers to war. Sorry, I'm struggling to get the exact one. It's H. Hatred, yeah. Yes. It's a G. Oh, no. Okay. It's H. If I can just get more explanation around exactly that section, because I... Yeah.
Thank you. Can you give clarification? Honorable Pakis?
Sorry.
Chair, I want to come to 18J.
The thing I got is must go 18 chain. We are not. We are there. I think we need to change the year, Commissar, or honorable members. Call. The year that talks of 2 years, if you will, when you join, you must learn. Yes, page 16, Hitler classification, first line. Abitata Konange, 2 years. Can you reduce that? We shouldn't wait for 2 years. For instance, I feel that I'm offended or I'm not satisfied, I'm not comfortable about a particular classification, or I shouldn't wait for 2 years to write to the board about a request to reclassify that. 2 years is too much. I think that's my submission. Let's reduce it. Can be 12 months, 6 months, can be 2 years. I will be sitting there with uncomfortable information or whatever that is there that makes me feel offended, and I wait for 2 years.
1 year.
But you hear what I'm saying, Chair?
Yes, Chair. If we choose it and say a year, 12 months is fine. But the legal team can guide us through you.
Thank you. Can I give over to the legal people to guide us?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let us start with 18H, the question that was posed in respect of 18H. 18H, basically what it has done is to take the prohibition that appears in 16.2 of the Constitution, which is already a prohibition no matter what you do or how you look at it. And all that we are saying here, no person may distribute through any medium, including the internet, any social media, any film, game or publication which amounts to propaganda for war, incites imminent violence or advocates hate speech. We haven't changed anything that the Constitution actually prohibits under 16.2 of the Constitution, and through the deliberations and all the explanations, we've actually spoken to the judgments that speak to this issue. And then Julius.
If we look at the definition of hate speech, it's as the legal advisor said now, it's in line with the Constitution. But what I'm worried about is it mentions the Constitution, but it goes even further that advocate or communicates words against any person or group which words could reasonably be construed to demonstrate a clear intention to be harmful or incite harm or promote or propagate hatred. Because the Constitution is very clear in terms of what hate speech is. So why is it going further than that? Because there's a very fine line between, between hate speech and speech that is, because I don't want it to infringe on freedom of speech. Offensive language. So that's what I'm specifically worried about.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think for us to have further clarity, let me speak on two things. There is a principle of subsidiarity, which basically means if there is any law that speaks further on what the Constitution has said, if there is any law that provides details to what the Constitution has already enacted, for anybody to have an issue with the constitutional provision, start with the law that provides the details. Now, if we look at Section 9 of the Constitution, it says, Section 9.3, national legislation must be enacted to prevent or prohibit unfair discrimination. And that legislation has resulted in the PEPUDA, the Equality Act. And the Equality Act, in Section 10, defines what is hate speech. And what we've done in this bill is basically looking at Section 10, 12, and 7 of the Equality Act, try and put it in ways that expresses what they've said in that act for purposes of our bill. So the hate speech definition is not a definition that is against what Section 10 and 12 and 7 of the Equality Act is actually stating. So what we've done for purposes of this act, and in line with the principle of subsidiarity, we result in what we have for purposes and definition of the hate speech and what the honorable member is speaking to in this regard. From if I may venture a view or an opinion, there is basically nothing unconstitutional or unlawful that we've done or that can arise from what from all the attempts that we've done that can arise out of the definition of the hate speech that we have done, being guided by what the Equality Act is stating in line with Section 9 and Section 16.2 and 16, the freedom of expression, and the judgments that have arisen out of the issues that we have all grappled with. We've tried to attempt that exercise, and we are of the view that what we have done is actually able and will meet constitutional muster should the matter be taken to court.
Thank you. Sure.
Just thank you, Chairperson. I just need the sector advisors to please explain by way maybe of example in practical terms how it will work. Let's use the word advocate. If can I make an example, for instance, and then maybe you can come back? Because you said now you made a statement that you tested everything. Now, I'm still not a bit, you know, I'm still not in agreement with it. Let's say, for instance, as a Christian myself, and I'll use a definition of Christian, right? As a group, as per the definition in clause 1. I'm a Christian. Can I continue?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah, but you say things like, and what was
it?
If I'm last talking.
It says meaning that
it's
just don't come and lay words. Do you have hidden agendas because you
somewhere
hear yourself?
Yeah, I you're getting frustrated with me, but please don't. I'm just trying to do that. Now, I'm a Christian. Let's say, I'm just mentioning I'm a Christian, but I want to make another example. Let's say I'm from another religion, right? And I'm saying to you that, from another religion, I'm saying that all Christians are drunkards because it's allowed in their what. Would that mean that that would mean hate speech? Can that be defined as hate speech or my freedom of speech? Also in the Constitution. I think that's your first right. Other rights are excluded from your principal right, your freedom of speech. Now, if we put it in here, advocating hate speech. Now, advocate in the sense of the word itself. Describe advocate for me in an example like I did now. Did I now advocate hate speech?
Okay.
How will we test it to say you advocated? How do you advocate? It's very broad, very, very open, Chairperson. Thank you.
Chair,
some of us have a very photographic memory. Usis Pumelele, if Nilbiza was Sikamalakusis, what she has explained on the issue raised by Honorable Smith is not for the first time she raised it, and she explains it. This is the fourth session of this committee dealing with this bill. I'm not duplicating the views raised, but I'm saying this is the fourth session, if I'm not mistaken. Same questions come. I think we can't proceed like that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Can I give over and then we're going to do the honourable members
must not keep quiet. If you raise your hand, then you must bring another view to say, I understand and I agree. Therefore, whatever. Now I must make a ruling and ask, can we proceed? You must come up with a view. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. For additional information to explain on the issue, Chairperson, and also to let it rest, may I request that my colleague, Mr. Pandelia, speak to the issue.
Chairperson, I think, Chairperson, just to provide some assistance, I think the definition as is captured in the current bill is principally articulates the same definition that is captured in the Equality Act. And the Equality Act has gone to great lengths to try and unpack all the different kinds of scenarios within which utterances, displays, it can be anything. It could literally be a statement on a T-shirt that could amount to hate speech. But what it does do, it provides a clear line when utterances, communication, becomes hate speech, and what speech is then protected. And in order to provide that necessary clarity, the High Court, I think, in at least three instances has considered those scenarios and provided judgments to the extent to which, firstly, the provision, Section 10 of the of PAPUDA, is actually constitutionally sound and meets constitutional muster, and to the extent to which utterances in its various guises amount to hate speech or not. And we can give examples to the committee where net. I think Pumelele has also tried to advise those sort of citations of the cases where the High Court has deliberated on the issue. What the bill currently captures is just as the law currently stands. And until any further challenges or challenges, Supreme Court of Appeal, Constitutional Court, that says actually your definition of hate speech is all wrong, it is what the law currently says it is. So there's many different kinds of scenarios, and I don't know whether the committee wants us to now traverse the territory of trying to give examples of every kind of utterances that may or may not amount to hate speech, but the definition is as is captured in PAPUDA.
Thank you very much. Can we... They can send it for you. Yeah. Can I...
I move, Chair.
Can you move? Okay, only one. Then we're going to move.
I'm not confused. No confusion. Yeah. It's never in my head.
Make us understand. We understand. So you want us to understand your view, which is wrong.
I don't understand. Chair, I want the state to understand. And you said they can give me an example.
Yeah, okay, only one example.
Chair, there was a point raised by Honorable Smith, and we deliberated on that, blah, 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 blah. That's the point that I'm moving, that we move that clause. We have not adopted that clause. I listen in a meeting and I follow in a meeting. So some people, when they are confused, they should not believe that we are all confused and can be confused. Please. That's the clause that I'm moving, so that we go to the next clause.
I'm not confused. You said my hand was up
you noticed me, but then they responded, and you said you're coming back to me. So we're still with that clause. And I raised a question on the clause. Where we are now is the example that that was a request, just a request that I want to understand. But please, can we get this irritation out of the way, Jefferson? Can we get this irritation out of the way? I'm trying to do my work. If a person wants to rush through the thing, rush through it on your own. Don't get agitated because I'm asking questions. I'm a member of this committee. I'm not here by chance. I'm elected.
Thank you. Can we proceed? If we can move.
Chairperson, I think on the advisors, also the parliamentary legal advisor, and in order to, for the sake of brevity, I'm happy to even give you three of the most recent judgments from the South African Human Rights Commission versus Velapi Khumalo, South African Human Rights Commission against Bogani Masuku Kosatu, and also the South African Human Rights Commission against John Mwelane. So both, all of those three instances give clear examples of utterances which have crossed the line and amounted to hate speech, and where the judgment has gone to great depths to unpack what amounts to hate speech. For the sake of brevity, again, it's as simple as the use of the K word. It's as simple as the use of, in instances, monkey and baboon to call individuals. So it's those kinds of examples where you cross the line into hate speech and cannot be perceived as protected speech. So if you want more clarity, Chairperson,
no,
I can...
Thank you. Can you then, can we proceed?
Don't
you ask me when I'm clear?
No, I see you are clear. You are saying, No, but I allow him... No. Can we proceed, please? You move. Can you put it on
record? Can you put it on record, member? Please.
Okay, I move, sir.
Thank you.
One second.
Okay, thank you. Can we move
to
the next
thing? There's a second there, and there was
I
a movement.
I just want to...
Okay, note something.
Chairperson, I just want it noted that I'm objecting to the specific clause,
can
and it must be my letter, please.
Thank you.
No, I
can
didn't.
We move?
Thank you, Chairperson. I am under the understanding that the adopted part is that of Clause 19, and with the explanation on the 2 years already done, that it speaks to the application when you do the self-request, whether you want to maintain the already given classification or you want it redone again. So we were under the impression that the 2 years is perfectly good as is. Then the adoption is in line with that one, indicating that there is nothing we change there. Now I move to clause 20.
Oh, there was a...
We reduce it to one year instead of 2 years. We have noted, Chair.
Can we proceed? Thank you.
I think the proposal also asked for legal advice on the continuing elaboration of mine. I think that wasn't done. But well, we already moved, I'm happy.
Thank you. Can we proceed?
Now, I have a proposal. You must never come to this question. Sure.
Yeah, no, really, I second it. Can you proceed, ma'am?
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 20. And Clause 20, Chairperson, it seeks to amend the heading of Chapter 5, and Chapter 5 is the chapter that speaks to the appeal. The Principal Act had attempted to make a provision as to how the internal appeals and the external appeals may take place in respect of the work that has already been classified. It takes us to the example as well as in Inceba, and if one looks at that judgment, the issue again was between whether this should have been review or it should have been an appeal.
And this is what our provisions is attempting to make clarity out of, that if you, the person who has the product that has, you have an issue with the classification, you can follow the appeal structures as determined in terms of this Act to appeal the decision that was given for your specific classification. And that's what Clause 20 then in respect of the whole chapter will be doing. For just Clause 20, which changes the title or the heading, I put it before adoption for the committee, that it will now be the right to appear and to appeal to the appeal tribunal, taking out the Supreme Court, because that process is an already standing process in terms of the justice system. I put Clause 20 for adoption.
I move for the adoption.
Okay, I second that, Chair.
Thank you. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Chairperson. And it is exactly the same. Then Clause 21 is giving details to what I've just explained in words now in respect of changing Section 19 as to how the appeal can take place and who should be appealing. I put the appeal provision amending Section 19 for adoption as appears in Clause 21.
Chair, move.
Thank you, Honourable Singh.
I've seconded.
Thank you. Can we proceed?
Again, Chairperson, Section 20 is about the appeal tribunal and how it conducts its appeals. So Clause 22 is also bringing clarity and removing any confusion that the Principal Act may have provided. Hence, we resulted in the confusion they had on the local standing of the Inceba judgment. I put Clause 22 as to how people and who will appeal is provided for adoption.
Before we only meet now here. Are you okay, Honorable Minister?
Yeah.
We're almost done.
Is he available?
I'm going to call them now.
But it's a Thank you. Aware of Thank you. And the other thing I wanted to do is what we're doing. All plans that are made before the winning.
Can you Second. You must say second.
Can we move now to So, Chairperson, I put forward the adoption of clause 24 and amendment 24A.
Thank you, clause 24. Can I have a mover, please, for the adoption?
I move for the adoption.
Malambu, sir, second.
Chairperson, clause 25 is the amendment of 24A. What we sought to do in this instance is to differentiate these two as it makes a distinction between the possession of things related to child pornography and general possession. The initial physical act has clustered them all together, but what sort 24 means would now be in the changed state if we speak separately to those. So for 25 that speaks to the amendment of 24 means, we speak to prohibited offences and penalties in respect of possession, feelings and games and publications that has nothing to do with child pornography but are already prohibited in terms of this case. So the question I took for 25 before the committee for adoption.
For 25, can I have someone to move? Put it on record in your voice.
Couldn't imagine for the adoption of clause 25.
Can I someone second?
I second.
Honorable Singh second. Can we move to the next clause? Clause 26.
Clause 26, chapter 10, to amend section 24C. And 24C, it's heading there. It says obligations of internet access and service providers. What we are adding in this provision is subsection 3, which extends the penalty initially as it appears on the physical act so that it shows how serious such offences are, and it takes it to a fine not exceeding 50,000 rand or to imprisonment or to exceeding 6 months or more such fine.
Thank you. Can I have someone to move
24,
26? In front of you, can I have a mover? Honorable Nambu?
No, I'm not moving.
Oh, you want to something for clarity?
No. Just said if the fine can not be increased to 100,000.
Well, if I may, there is an act that guides you to the fine and the punishment in language.
We don't make the rules for certain Thank you very much. Please. Can I get someone to move?
No,
I'm
not moving.
Honorable
Safa. Well, with the explanation, I will move to adoption.
And Dr. Mpembe second.
So 27 Chapter is a new invention. It seeks to bring in new provisions that speak to 24D, which will be prohibition offences and penalties for submission of false and misleading information to online submission system operators. Because we know that this seeks to extend the regulatory framework to the online publication that has been used for some time. 24E. It speaks to prohibition offences and penalties on the suspicion of private sexual photographs and feelings. This may speak to some of the things known as revenge porn and all those. 24F, it speaks to prohibition offences and penalties on filming and the suspicion of feelings and photographs depicting sexual assault and violence against children. 24G, speak to prohibition of offensive penalties on propaganda for war, incitement of imminent violence and advocacy of hatred based on an identifiable group characteristic and that constitutes incitement to cause harm. That is verse 27, chapter 10, which insects 1, 2, 3, 4 provisions that will speak to those provisions and penalties and offenses. I put verse 27 for adoption.
Verse 7 is before the committee. Can we get a mover? Honorable Singh move.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 27, clause 28 seek to bring additional changes to section 27A, which speaks to the registration that all the providers and distributors are expected to be registered. So in this instance, it extends in line with the definitions that we have changed in respect of the internet and the service providers, so that it is clear and all those that should now be registered, it also provides penalties should be failed to be registered in line with the F. I put clause 28, Chairperson, with no changes before the committee.
Clause 28, section 27A is before the committee. Can I have someone to move? Can we move on to 29?
Thank you, Chairperson. Because of the new provisions that we've just inserted and adopted through clause 28, through clause 27, Chairperson. So section 39 of the Principal Act, which was a standalone provision on punishment for all the offences that this Act has established. For purposes of cleaning up and to align with what we've just done, that section 39 now, which was on punishment, clause 29, requests that it be repealed so that it comes out of the statute and that's what clause 29 does. It repeals section 30 because the punishment is now there specifically expressed upon each offense. So, Chairperson, I put the repeal of section 30 proposal under clause 29 before the panel.
Those two clauses is before you, 29 and 30. Can I have a mover, please?
I move for adoption.
Honorable Farco, move for adoption. Honorable Kemi, second.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 31, the secret bring on board the regulations that will be necessary in respect of the enforcement committee. Section 31 is a regulation provision, so should there be any need that there be regulations in respect of the enforcement committee, the same is now being extended to the minister to ensure that such regulations are done through the adoption of the changes to Section 31. I put clause 30 before the committee, Chairperson. Can I have a mover? Honorable Singh move for adoption. Thank you, Chairperson. We are now on clause 31, page 21, which clause is now providing how the regulations should be done for all the regulations that are necessary for this Act. Initially, the Act was silent on this, and now there is a provision. I put clause 31 for that purpose.
Clause 31 is in front of the committee. Can I have a mover? Honorable Malambo, move for the adoption of 31. Honorable Singh, second. Thank you.
Chairperson, clause 32 is just a consequential change. The Principal Act has written or expressed internet in a capital letter, and Honorable Parties has explained the grammatical English use of the capital letter and whatever. So in this instance, wherever it only appears in the capital letter, it must change to a smaller letter.
Okay, sure.
And that's what clause 32 does. I put that for adoption before the committee.
Clause 32 is in front of the committee. Can I have a mover? Honorable Safar, move for adoption.
Can I have someone second this role?
Indicated by the committee will appear so that people are not in the microphone way to find what in this case. It's just a change in the arrangement of sections for the 8-6-5-6-3, changing the email accordingly before the committee for adoption.
So 33 in front of the committee. Is there anybody who wants to move? Honourable Mutebe is moving for the adoption of Clause 33. Is there a second?
Clause 34, all Chairperson is a short party and commencement, which basically says we're yielding to an end. Clause 34, Chairperson indicates that this act came to Parliament for processing in 2015. We must just have to change the act, but that is editorial 2015-2018, which is the time it has taken to finalize this bill. And it also goes better to say that it will come into operation once the president has assented and can change his level. And that chaplain is called therefore and that it is for admission before the committee with the possible change of the rule 2015-2018.
Can I see a mover for this clause? 34. On the agenda. Move for the adoption.
I move for the adoption of clause 34.
Can I have a check on this? On the voting? 2018.
For purposes of the record chapter with your permission, I think it should be recorded that there have been other amendments as the committee indicated the provisions that have amendments and we accept those in writing and they will appear on the report that it is a bill with the amendments after the first time for the information that we have been there.
Thank you. I read the report for the adoption. All the sections with the legal advisor must read the report of the Select Committee of Communications and Public Enterprises on the Terms and Publication Amendment Bill B37B 2015, National Assembly Section 75, dated 24th October 2018. The Select Committee on Publications and Public Enterprises having considered the subject of the Firms and Publication Amendment Bill B37B 2015, National Assembly Section 75, referred to its report that it has agreed to the bill with proposed amendments. Clause 6, on page 6, in line 15 after, chairperson to insert, and such chairperson must be a retired judgment. On the High Court of South Africa. 2. On page 6 from line 18 to omit subsection 3. Clause 12. 1. Clause rejected. New clause. Let the following be a new clause. Amendment of section 13 of Act 65 of 1996. As amended by section 15 of Act 3 of 2009. Section 13 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution of subsection 1 of the following subsection 1. The expenditure in connection with the performance of the functions the exercise of the powers and the carrying out of the duties of the board, council, appeal, tribunal, enforcement committee, and advisory panel shall be deprived from money appropriated by Parliament for the debt, and B, by the insertion of the section, subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1A, all monies lawfully acquired by the board in the performance of its functions must be utilized to achieve the objectives of the act. And then the other amendment which we did this morning will come to us for adoption when after they have to do the report. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. It was a long day, a stressful one. Sorry. Can I have an adoption of the report, please? A proposal.
I'm going to move for adoption of that report.
Thank you very much. With that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, doctor.
We love you.
You know, you must always be on standby because you know the environment that we are operating in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.